Welcome to Business Beyond Borders, the go-to podcast for CPA firms seeking transformative insights. I'm your host, Lawrence Whittam, and with each episode, we'll uncover key insights, best practices, and invaluable resources tailored for CPAs. From trending strategies to diving deep into outsourcing and offshoring, our experts will help in all areas of your business. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Business Beyond Borders. I appreciate you joining today, and we have a special guest, somebody that came from a company near and dear to my heart. So, again, that I really grew up with coming out of college. And again, this is Mike Walton, who's recently joined there and taking it to the next level now, we'll say. So, Mike, nice to have you joining me today. Appreciate it.
Hey, great to be here. Good to see you again, Lawrence, and excited to chat about outsourcing.
And I'm sure QX is in good hands. So can you, we've known each other for a few years now. So can you give everybody else listening just a bit of a background about yourself and give the sort of the intro about QX as well? That'd be great.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I joined QX in August of last year. As I came in as a senior VP, I kind of head up the efforts from strategic growth perspective for the U.S. and Canada. We're seeing a lot of business in Canada right now. Look, QX is, let me tell you a little bit about myself. I've actually been in the outsourcing space for some time. That's how I got to know you, Lawrence. And I worked for another company that provided outsourcing and automation. And, we've certainly seen a need explode. And I don't know, coming out of the pandemic, whatever you want to call it, the great resignation, there's just reason after reason, it seems like. And we'll talk about a couple of those today. But we've just seen this interest explode. I made a decision to make a move to QX for a couple different reasons. First of all, I think the size and the resources are significant. QX has been around since 2003, so over 20 years now. Well over 1,500 people in the QX accounting piece. And of course, QX is just part of a larger company called QX Global, which is well over 3,500 people around the world now, doing not only outsourced accounting for CPAs, but for larger enterprises and automation and recruiting and a lot of services to help businesses deal with staffing issues and staffing challenges. So, QX, we've been around for a long time. I really like it. I like the model. I like the delivery model, which I think we'll get into a little bit. I think it's very innovative, especially as you take a look at the landscape now. And as more and more companies are recognizing the need, and it seems like anymore you have two or three accountants in the Philippines or South Africa or India and a little office building, and boom, you hang out a shingle and you're an outsourcing provider. So a lot of competition out there, but also a lot of business for everybody. So that's a little bit about me and kind of QX, a 50,000 foot view.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Mike. And can you share, so what are you guys seeing right in today? Because again, I know you've been around, you've been working with firms specifically for a number of years now as well. So you've really saw, similar to myself, like the transition and what's gone on over COVID and mm-hmm. Where are we at today? Like, what are we seeing in the industry? What should firms be really aware of just about the profession in itself?
Well, first of all, there's a ton of stuff going on with private equity now, and that's really been a game changer. AI is starting to focus in, or firms are starting to focus in on AI opportunities and capabilities. And I think AI is such a big buzzword now. But as a matter of fact, I was just on a webinar a couple months ago with a leading AI company that's providing AI type resources to CPA firms. And, people know it's exciting and they know kind of what it's about, but they don't really know. And that's, to a degree, that's sort of outsourcing as well. They sort of know, it's been around for a while. Look, outsourcing isn't new, especially in the accounting industry. I mean, the big four firms have been doing it for decades, right? Going back to the 80s. Yeah. But as far as what we're seeing now, as it relates specifically to outsourcing, there's still a monumental staffing challenge going on out there. I mean, this is a generational issue right now, and it does not look like it's going to be fixed anytime soon. You have a, you kind of have this perfect storm going on now. First of all, the growth opportunities for these firms are enormous. I mean, the growth opportunities are great. The clients are there, but I talked to so many partners and managing partners and leaders of firms, and they say, look, we're quite concerned if we get one or two more clients, we're going to have a service failure, right? And that's the last thing the CPA firms need. So look, you know, you've seen the stats, and I'm sure some of your listeners who are interested in this may have seen some posts on LinkedIn, and there's been a lot of articles recently. But, you know, last number I saw, like 300,000 CPAs left public accounting in the last couple of years. I mean, that's a big, big number. Some other numbers of that group that have left public accounting, and this really gets to where firms are struggling right now. 82% of those people leaving public accounting have 5 years or more experience. So what does that tell you, right? That entire middle that CPA firms absolutely rely on, the seniors and the managers, right? Firms got plenty of partners, and they got a lot of good associates and interns running around. But that middle is significantly lacking right now because so many of those people, they get into public accounting, right? They learn a lot. They're developed. They do well. They work hard. And they get to 5-6 years, you know, and they say, look, I can make the same money or more and work a lot less by going into private. So they become, you know, controllers or finance directors for a manufacturer or a company in town. So you're seeing that pretty significantly. And if you couple that with the absolute lack of younger students going into accounting and choosing it, there's a lot of reasons for that. Obviously, the big one is the, you know, the 150-hour requirement for CPA is a big one. You know, they're taking a hard look at accounting programs now in universities. You know, can we make it, I don't want to say easier, but can we make it more attractive? Because less and less people are coming. So that's a long way of saying that we're in this perfect storm of a situation where the capacity, and that's the key buzzword for that I use all the time every day when I talk to clients, is you need this capacity to take advantage of those growth opportunities, right? On top of all that, and this is another thing that private equity sort of has a piece on, but and a lot of people don't think about it because it's not two inches in front of their nose. Within 10 years, 70% of these CPAs, the partners, are gone. They're retired. They're out, you know, living on a beach or an island or in the woods or sailing or doing their thing, right? So within 10 years, and we're seeing a lot of that right now because baby boomers, people of my generation, we're aging out, right? We're aging out. So it's starting now. And for the next 10 years, you're going to have a huge influx of people hitting their retirement from the CPA industry. So all that is putting tremendous pressure on CPA firms to figure out how do we staff, how do we bring in people so we can grow? How can we thrive in this environment? And really, you know, there's a couple different levers that these firms can pull, unless they're lucky. Look, if they're really lucky and they're maybe in a metro area and they're a really good firm and they can hire, you know, that's good, but that's more the lucky ones. That's more the aberrations as opposed to the rule nowadays, right? So the two levers they're really able, that these guys are able to pull and maneuver to create this capacity, it's automation, which is huge right now. And I'm sure you've done podcasts about automation, and outsourcing. And outsourcing is basically providing access to professionals, experienced professionals that don't live in the US by and large, right? So in our case with QX, it's primarily India with a really new, exciting and very popular option we call nearshoring, which is based in Mexico. So those are, but of course, you know, we've seen it. There's the Philippines, there's South Africa, there's other countries that are starting to get into this business as well. You're seeing it more in Latin America as well. And quite honestly, there's quite a bit of onshore opportunities as well for people to have, hey, I don't want to offshore this, so I'm going to look at something onshore. There's companies that provide US-based outsourcing as well. So yeah. It really kind of there's programs for and providers for just about any wish you could have
at the end of the day.
Yeah, it
right?
fits I everybody. Mean, yep.
Right. It's just figuring out which is best for you in a sense, right? And finding the right one. And I completely agree. I mean that people and again, finding the outsourcing comes with two aspects though. I mean, I see, because you mentioned two levers. I think two of them, one of them combines a couple, which is that people and the process side, mm-hmm. right? Yep. Because as we get things more, make things more efficient internally, right, you then need less people at the end of the day as well. So there's the people, there's the process, and there's, and like you said, the technology and automation, the platforms mm-hmm. that are being used, right? It's evolving so quickly that it's a, How do I balance these levers essentially? Like how, which one am I pulling more? Which one am I focusing on? And I think that's where somewhat you need people internally in the firms focusing on these different areas completely, right? I mean, it can't be everybody's looking at it all the time about everything, because again, they've got the day job, they're doing the work, right? Yeah. So, mm-hmm. but there needs to be people in charge of it, right? And focusing mm-hmm. on these things to make sure it works. Now, so when we come to the outsourcing aspect, so, well, let's talk about the cultural side a little bit first. So obviously there's India, mm-hmm. which is a primary focus for QX, right? But then you've mentioned Latin America. So can you tell us a little bit about the Mexico side of things? Like what type of talent are you seeing firms interested in down in Mexico mm-hmm. From that nearshoring side? And what is the benefit of doing that compared to the India side that you've got as well?
Yeah, so It's interesting. First of all, I mean, look, you know, the U.S. and Mexico are joined at the hip and have been joined at the hip for centuries, right? I mean, there's no U.S. history without a, you know, Mexicans, you know, influence in one way, shape or form. And yeah. more depending on where you're sitting right now, listening to this, what state, I mean, it could be more or less than others. But so there's a cultural affinity. Right. There's a cultural comfort already with Mexico, I would venture to guess that most people throughout their day will hear a Hispanic accent somewhere along the way.
Yeah.
Indian accent, maybe not so much. So there's this cultural thing with Mexico. And also, I think with Mexico, there's a very similar business culture. So there's already a connection there from a business perspective. Quite honestly, the number one reason that people are interested in nearshoring, and it makes absolutely perfect sense, is the time zone, right? Yeah. So our main office is in Guadalajara, Mexico, which is central time zone. So one of the things about outsourcing is, you know, India seems so far away, or Philippines seems so far away, and they're having to work crazy hours just to have some sort of overlap with their clients here in the U.S. With Mexico, that kind of remedies that. So that's actually a pretty attractive thing. But I also think it's probably more that comfort. The other thing that we're seeing, and we talked a little bit about those people that have left public, a lot of that middle, yep. right? Those seniors and those managers. What we're seeing is a really high quality group from Mexico in that range, right? So it also fits into where those needs are for these firms as well. You know, I get calls, say, hey, we need a senior accountant, or we need a manager, a tax manager, or we need an audit senior or something like that, right? So that Mexico fills a pretty good role there. And then finally, one of the things that I think is attractive to the US firms about nearshoring, and maybe it gets back to the comfort perspective, is the Mexico resources being utilized in more of a client-facing manner, right? Gotcha. So there's a lot of outsourcing. There's a lot of outsourcing where, hey, it's just in the back office, and you know, where they're in India or Philippines, Mexico, they're in the back just doing accounting work or bookkeeping or whatever, right? And they're never going to see a client. With this lack of a middle, right, that we've talked about, which is absolutely crucial and is going to be a theme here throughout our conversation, you're seeing more of a need for those people that can interact with the end client as well, right? And so I think that Mexico gives a little bit more comfort with a trained professional CPA in that role that can interface with the client and have phone calls and have Zoom meetings and team meetings and think that kind of thing. And we have some clients where that's actually, we're seeing that day in and day out, and we're seeing that work. And the feedback we're getting from managing partners is pretty outstanding. And I actually heard a partner say the other day, I was actually giving a presentation at an event about nearshoring. And I hadn't really thought of it this way because it's actually very simple and I may tend to overcomplicate things. But I was giving a presentation and there was a managing partner of a firm in the room, and he kind of raised his hand and he said, "So Mike, basically this is just like a remote employee in yet another state for Mexico." Yeah. And I thought, you know what? I mean, because that's, you know, it's again, Mexico's not another state, but it's viewed with that similarity that it could be, hey, you know what? I'm a firm up in Chicago. I might have remote employees in California or Texas, right? Yeah. So why not have a remote employee in Mexico City or Guadalajara? It's just another remote employee. And I think people have a tendency to overcomplicate outsourcing. And I think you've probably seen this in your history as well. It's actually relatively simple when you think about it in those terms.
Yeah. And like you said, I mean, that works because there's more cultural affinity with, yep. mm-hmm. with between the US and Mexico. So now what do you, and again, I think one of those points as well that you brought up regarding the types of talent as well is there's that middle range, but the reason, I think one of the reasons why you're going to find that some of the talent down in Mexico can actually communicate better with clients as well is that there aren't that many firms there, like CPA, US CPA captives down there. There's the big four, right? There's mm-hmm. a few of the larger ones. And then really a lot of the other accounting industry has been built from them working with US private clients in a lot of cases, right? Large public and companies and right? Large US public companies, private companies, mm-hmm. but ones that have built their own. And it could be a tech company. It could be a Shell's down there, right? You've got a lot of gas and oil, and but you've got U.S. accountants they've grown up doing that, but they're actually interacting within companies, right? Yeah. So it's like bringing somebody from the private industry internally into the CPA firm world, right? And that's where
good point.
They do need to have that as a partner. You've also got to have that understanding that okay, they can. They're along that. It's more similar to that hiring compared to like they're not going to be working with a bunch of CPA firms down there necessarily. Right. It's getting there, but it may have less years of experience doing that, right? Mm-hmm. So now, can you tell us, let's say for you guys, because again, you guys have a slightly different model than some other firms, right? A lot of BPOs have different models. So mm-hmm. can you tell us, what should a firm expect when, let's say they're working with yourselves, like what should they really expect coming into it, especially within like the first 3 to 6 months getting started? Like where should their expectations be? What should they be doing themselves to make sure they are prepared to come into this and make it a success compared to what you've seen other firms doing that hasn't been successful?
Yeah. And you know what? I think, you know, I've been around long enough. And one of the things, and I want to even probably go back even early in the decision-making process is maybe they're sitting around a room as a leadership team at a CPA firm saying, what do we need to do to build capacity? So as they start thinking about outsourcing, a couple of things I think need to be in place. And I think I've seen situations where these attributes were not there and they have not been real successful relationships. So I personally think that outsourcing needs to be an integral part of a strategic plan, right? So it needs to be in that sort of strategic planning to where, and look, all firms do it. They sit down and say, we're going to do our, you know, they go on a retreat or whatever, and they do their thing. I think that this needs to be part of that plan. And it also needs to have internal high level champions. This can't work if you got a, you know, a tax manager trying to drive it, right? The partners, the leadership need to be behind this, right? So that's really crucial. And I think what they, as they're going out and talking to firms, right, and they're evaluating whether it's QX or somebody else, you know, ask the questions. Make sure you have an absolute, complete understanding of what the process is going to look like. And look, have you outsourced before, or is this your first time, you know, dipping the toe in the water? That's a big thing too. So, if there's a lot of firms out there that have outsourced and had bad experiences, right? Yeah. So they need to take that with them into this new experience. And conversely, those that have never outsourced before, they need to take that lack of experience in. So both of them have to have some questions. The biggest, there's two things that I've seen that I try and make sure when I'm talking with firms. The two big reasons for failures of these relationships is a couple different things. First of all, there's a not a clear understanding of expectations on both sides, right? So not only does QX need to understand the client's expectations, but that client needs to understand that, you know, this is a two-way street here, and that, you know, QX and these other providers have to have expectations as well. The other thing is absolute communication. This only works if we communicate. So let me jump ahead a little bit. So let's say we've gone through, it's a strategic part, we're evaluating, and we say, hey, you know what, we like QX, right? So what they're going to expect, first and foremost, is absolute clarity on understanding what the work is, what this, you know, we'll get a statement of work from our clients. We're going to understand your workflow. You're going to understand how we fit into that workflow. The one thing I like about QX is we don't go into a firm and say, all right, this is how QX does it, so you guys need to make it fit, right? What we are going to do is we're going to get a 100% clear understanding of that client's, not only what the job description is and what we see that role for this individual or this team of individuals, but what is your workflow? What does a day look like in ABC CPA company, right? And what are your platforms? What's your security? So we're going to take you through all that through these early discussions and into the onboarding process, where we're going to talk about that day to day. We're going to talk about who the contacts are. Who are your main points of contact? We're going to talk about the IT, you know, and if we need to get our QX IT people with the firm's IT people, get them together to make sure everything's on the same page. How are we going to interact? How are we going to access files? All those things. So as we get up from, you know, we talk about contract, we select the resources, whether that's, you know, we let you see CVs, we trade, you know, we look at your job descriptions. We're happy to get people on a Teams call, a Zoom call to have a quote interview with them to make sure that, you know, we're all on the same page here. And then as we get close to go live date, that's where really where we kind of introduce the manager. We introduce the flow from our end to let them know what it's going to look like from a QX perspective as well. The manager is absolutely key. One of the things that we do, Lawrence, that I love a lot, and it's one of the reasons I joined QX, is it's called Managed FTE Solutions. So, and it's an absolute commitment to quality and consistency. And really, it's missing in other providers, to be honest with you, that I know of. And that's where any person, if it's just one resource or if it's a team of 20, we have team leaders. So every piece of work that QX resources do for that firm is reviewed before it goes back to that firm. That's crucial. That's a focus on quality. So I can't tell you how many CPAs I have talked to that are just absolutely frustrated because they're pulled down into the weeds having to do review day in and day out. So this is a huge cost saving. So I wanted to point that out because that's pretty big. And that's a big part of sort of introducing that team leader, understanding how that flow is going to go, how we're going to review that work, right? And then once we go live, we usually have, our people are usually ready to go. But we also, that first month is, as you said, is pretty important. And as I've already mentioned, the communication is absolutely crucial. So we're going to have good communication on that first month. We're going to get asked for feedback day in and day out. We're going to figure out, hey, is there a problem? Is there a hiccup? Does the resource maybe not understand 100% what the work is? All those things we make sure and work out in the first couple of weeks. So by day 30 of the relationship, they're basically an integrated member into that team. And then from going forward, we continue on with what we call governance, which is, again, just another fancy word for communication. But the key thing here is all that work is reviewed before it goes back to the CPA firm, and we have the periodic quality audits of that work as well. So it's really a 100% focus on the work. It's a four-eyed review of the work before it goes back to the client. We think it's super valuable because of those reasons, because so much work is, or so much time is spent by higher level people doing review and things like that. So yeah, our goal is day 30, they are basically integrated full member of that team. And you know what? It's proven to be valuable because I think our process works.
Yeah, and I think one of the elements you touched on, and again, it sort of comes back to communication at the end of the day. But I think I see it quite a lot with outsourcing firms, and they do try, especially when the leadership and or management and the structure around it is involved. Mm-hmm. And they will ask a lot. They'll ask a lot for feedback. They'll ask a lot for, can we set up this meeting for this reason, right? And I tend to see a bit more of a rush response a lot of the times from the firms. So I think that's something that we have to be mindful of on the accounting firm and the CPA firm's end, right? Is that if they're asking for those meetings for a reason, right? We have to be open to communicating as well from this end, because if we're not providing feedback, we're never going to get an improvement, right? If you're not providing your expectations and making sure they're balanced on that call, then, and seeing them as really part of the team, it's very difficult to really have a successful endeavor at the end of the day, like, because there has to be a balance between the two. So I completely agree. I mean, now can you share maybe a challenge that you see, that a challenge that firms have when they're outsourcing, so and what they need to do, let's say a best practice to help with that specifically, that maybe something is that they personally have to change inside their firm or in terms of a process or even a mental side of it, right, in terms of what their mind needs to be.
Well, I think that's the key thing. So there's a couple things. First of all, and maybe this gets back to a little bit about what firms have to do leading up to this, firms have got to communicate internally about what they're doing and why they're doing it. Because this can be scary, or this could be perceived differently to among the staff of a CPA firm, right? Because again, outsourcing or offshoring still might have some negative connotations, right? So, and there could be some trepidation about. So I think the firms really need to communicate internally leading up to this. So, you know, yes, we have champions and leadership, but it's nice to get buy-in. If not buy-in, it's nice to get a pretty good understanding among the staff, because there is going to be impact among the staff and they're going to be working with these people.
So how do they do that? Right. Because that's the other thing. Right. Like how do you think they should implement that type of conversation? And again, it may vary based on size of firm, right?
That's a good question. So we just signed a really big firm. And they brought on a really big team all at once, which is, you know, it's a challenge when you're onboarding that many people at one time. But it was a great relationship. And the key thing here is that they're viewing this as a long-term relationship. So this is all those things I said earlier. This firm was kind of doing it right. And they did their legwork, and man, they asked some tough questions in the meetings, but I'll use them as an example to answer your question. So we actually had those conversations early on about, hey, you know, what are best practices, Mike? What are you seeing? What do we need to do? So we basically set up some meetings, and I actually was on a couple of these meetings answering questions from their staff, because we knew that, hey, you know what? The partner can sit down with them and have a discussion and probably answer some questions, but we wanted to make sure that the team. So basically, I was on a call with their entire team. Basically, I think it was probably three quarters of their entire staff was on this call, right? And I was just peppered with questions. And it was just questions of it. The questions mostly came from a point of being uneasy about it, right? Hey, yeah. Is this going to affect my job? And this leads to kind of my last point about what firms from a best practice perspective need to maybe have a mindset of, okay, this works best when that resource, whether they're from Mexico or India or anywhere else, when that resource is viewed by the firm as just another member of the staff, right? Include them, get them on, you know, your email distribution list, get them on Teams Messenger or Slack or whatever you're using, right? Invite them via Zoom or Teams to your staff meetings, right?
Yep.
You know, we have people sitting in India right now that I guarantee you are wearing hats and polos and vests of the firms that they're members of, and they love it, right? The reason that's important for the firm to view these people as part of their team gets back to how important it is for that person or that team sitting in India or Mexico to feel like they're part of a team, right? We all want to feel like we're part of something, right? And sometimes because staff may not be educated or firms may not have these conversations with their staff, that outsourced resource might be feeling kind of out there in right field, right? So that's a big part of the conversations that we have about when we get to that point about, okay, what are some things that we as a firm need to do, you know, need to do right to make sure this is work. Outsourcing is all about sharing, right? It's shared risk,
yep.
Shared reward, but you know, there's a lot of shared knowledge too. So as these firms approach this, and I tell firms that have never outsourced before, and they're saying, Mike, what's it all about? The easiest way to look at this is just say, it's just like bringing on another employee. The only difference is that this person works for the outsourcing provider, but everything else, we hope, is they're just another remote worker for your team. And look, everybody understands remote work. Most of them have remote workers today, and they certainly had them during the pandemic. So that usually gets them to understand that. And if we can get them to take that approach with their existing staff as well as their new outsourced staff, then we've sort of set the table, I think, for a long-term successful relationship, because, you know, that's what it's all about. You know, if outsourcing is a success, what you see is, hey, I like this team. We're growing. Outsourcing is scalable. Let's bring on some more, right? So yeah. You've seen it and I've seen it. People will start with one. I mean, my largest client ever started out with a half-time data entry, and they ended up, I think, at the end of the day with 35 people. So, yeah. You know, over the course of 3 years. So, I mean, it's a scalable, workable, and it's, you know, and you can scale that down too. So it's really important for firms, I think, to at least try and do it correctly and ask the right questions.
Yeah, and I'll give a word of warning as well, because one of the things you said was regarding, again, you'll see team members over there wearing the polos and the merch of the firms, and I think that's awesome. I will say, from experience, one of the stories we have is, if they're listening, they'll know exactly who they are. Right. And again, this was a learning curve overall, but they sent a great welcome kit to the team members, which included Virginia peanuts. And you cannot send Virginia peanuts apparently to India. So because it will get stopped by customs and nothing will get through. 5 months.
And they learned that
We learned that the hard way as well, like as a whole. But again, I mean, that's leveraging. And again, going to your provider and talking to them and saying, hey, listen, if you've got something internally, like you give everybody hats, you give everybody mugs, or you give everybody like a flask and a welcome gift, whatever the case is, it can be replicated. It doesn't need to be sent. It doesn't need to be that expensive. It's actually probably cheaper to talk to the provider and say, hey, listen, here are the graphics. Get your marketing team involved. Here are the graphics. Can you please print some t-shirts for these team members? Can you print the hats, get it to them, right? And a lot of the providers will do that quite happily, right? I mean, yes, you cover the cost and whatever the case is, but it's, again, it's a very good way of making sure your team feels welcome, right, as part of the team.
It's a little thing. It doesn't take much, but it's really important for that long-term success. You view them as part of your team, but they view themselves as part of the team. That's when the rubber starts to meet the road.
Yeah, but again, big thing. Don't just send it. Talk to them. They'll get it printed. They'll get it sorted for you.
We'll figure it out. Yeah, absolutely.
That's the easier way to do it. So, no, that's perfect. So, Mike, as we're wrapping up, I mean, is there anything else that you would love to sort of just get across for anybody that's on the edge and just thinking about outsourcing? Like, what do you guys do differently compared to other firms, and why maybe they should, again, come and talk to you about it before they get signed?
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity. Yeah, I mean, look, I've always taken this is not a sales type thing. This is a relationship, and this is, I take a very strategic approach. So I talk to a lot of firms that come up, you know, they'll give me a call and say, hey, man, we need somebody yesterday. We just had a tax manager quit or whatever, right? Those things happen. And that's fine. I call those band-aids, and they do happen. And look, we can fix those too. But the first question I ask, well, actually not the first, but usually in the set of first 5 or 6 questions that I ask when I'm having a conversation with a CPA, where are you now? Where do you want to be in 6 months? Where do you want to be in 2 years? Where do you want to be in 3 years, 5 years, right? So to get them already thinking about strategy and thinking about outsourcing and strategy in the same mindset, right? How does outsourcing affect that strategy? So what I try and do, and I think it's really important, and that's why I said that one of the key things is firms have to have it part of their strategic approach, right? So I take a very strategic approach to this. And I also, you know, outsourcing scares the heck out of people. It really does, you know, because it's this idea of my work is being sent overseas. Look, outsourcing is simple. I think for anybody that is on the fence or has a need or has thought about it, start the conversation. That's probably the best, you know, if I ever had my own podcast, Lawrence, I would probably call it Start the Conversation, because that's what it's about. Let's, you know, shoot an email. Hey, tell me more. I don't want to have a call yet. I don't want to get into this process, but just, you know, send me a brochure, send me some marketing, you know, start a conversation. This is very much a process, and there's a point A somewhere. And, you know, eventually down the road, and it could be a lot of twists and turns, but there's a point B, right?
Yeah.
And that point B, after our conversations, that point B could very well be, it's just not right for me at this point in time. Thanks, but no thanks. And I am perfectly fine with that. I want these firms to feel safe and comfortable entering into this conversation. So reach out. Ask questions, shoot me an email, give me a call, find me on LinkedIn, whatever the case may be, and at least start a conversation, and we'll see where it goes from there.
Yeah, and I think, and again, we'll post your details on the podcast so everyone can reach out to both the website and you directly. And I think the big piece there is that education is sort of the key to comfort at the end of the day. Like, it's there's been outsourcing, and this is sort of why we created the show, is that, again, I want to talk to the experts doing it. I want to talk to the professionals mm-hmm. that have, again, I've been doing it for a long time, but I want to hear from others and the way they're doing it, because it's almost a taboo subject to talk about. And now in the mm-hmm. past couple of years, like, you see more and more firms. I mean, you see the Withams of the world, you see the Whipfleys, you see the Cone Resnicks. They're all posting pictures and videos of them going and visiting their staff offshore. Yep. They're bringing them in like, oh, this is my opening this is my new class of interns. Guess what? There's 10 Filipino staff on there as well as 5 US staff, right? I mean, but it's all together is the thing, right? It's a cohesive mm-hmm. environment. And again, it's awesome to see the development, but it's, again, it needs to be, everybody needs to be open to talking about it. It's not a bad thing, right? It's not a bad thing. People need to be open, but it's, the key is the education piece. So appreciate you coming on, Mike. I will post all your stuff below. I hope everyone's enjoyed this episode today. And again, we look forward to seeing you on future episodes of Business Beyond Borders. Thank you.
Thanks, Lawrence.
Thank you for tuning in to Business Beyond Borders. I'm Lawrence Whittam, and it's been a pleasure bringing you impactful insights tailored for the modern CPA firm. Remember, the world of accounting is vast and ever-evolving, and we're here to navigate it together. For more resources and episodes, don't forget to subscribe and reach out to our experts. Until next time, keep pushing the boundaries of your business and explore the limitless possibilities beyond borders.